Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. With all due respect, the radio show that answers the question, what the fuck is going on? I just made that up. This is Jim Ellis. I'm the co-host of With All Due Respect. Making shit up right now because freedom of expression exists here. I'm here with my co-host from the East Coast, Mr. Rick Wright. How you doing today, Rick?
I'm doing good, Jimmy. I'm doing real well over here on the East Coast. It's still been pretty mild, so I'm okay.
You're okay. Yeah, we're on the West Coast. I'm in San Diego. Pretty nice here. We had a little bit of rain, which is very weird. We never have. I think we had 2 days of rain, which is like, what the hell is this water coming from the sky? You know, it's very confusing, but God knows my garden needs it, so anyway.
Was it anything substantial or is it just like a sprinkle?
It was substantial because there was some puddles, but it was like less than an inch, maybe an inch.
there was some puddling.
There was some puddling going on, so we were like confused.
Yeah, just so you know, we probably had the rain that you will get all year on Tuesday and Wednesday here in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, we have an interesting show today. We have a topic that is one of the hot topics. Like lately we've been thinking about, what's a hot topic of late that we could talk about on the show? I mean, we've talked about racism last week. We've had some, we talked about the campaign, the reaction afterwards. We had a liberal on, which was fascinating. And then I think one of the hottest topics, at least in social media that I've seen recently, is the North Dakota Access Pipeline that somebody wants to build and move some oil around. And we have Native Indians that are on their own land that are upset about it. And it's just creating a big stir, at least in Facebook. I don't know if it's on the national media or not. Have you seen it? Where have you seen it, Rick?
Basically on just Facebook, social media. I haven't seen or heard anything, well, you know, on the mainstream stuff. But I'll be honest, man, I have stayed away like the plague. Like I took MSN off my homepage. I don't go to Fox, CNN, any of those things anymore. So what I've been seeing is just on social media. And then I sent you that text yesterday with I did a little research. And I looked it up and just read it there. That's all the information I have on it.
Yeah, because thanks for sending that, by the way. So before you sent that, I just had a general idea of what was going on. None of the specifics, none of like who's doing what and why. All I had was this general vibe of there goes the government again, screwing over the Indians, the Native Indians, Native Americans. I'm not even sure which term to use, actually. And, pissed off that, I don't know, just believing in Big Brother and big government, not giving a shit about the people or their well-being. So that was like this general vibe, right? But I didn't have any, I'm anarchist anyway. I just believe a lot of the structures that we have in place aren't taking care of the people. So I kind of just rode on my own, belief system on that. Did you have a certain take on it before doing a little research, or you just wanted to, not?
Yeah, before, I'm a little cynical. I'm like, I look at the big picture of all this stuff. Like, I look at, the environmentalists and stuff like that, and I'm a realist around all this stuff. Like, yeah, we have the technology to shut the spigot off, so to speak, and not, bother with it, oil and all these other different things, but unfortunately, the way it's embedded into our society, you can't just shut the spigot off or it'll cause so many different things. So I think that, every year Congress and our country, at least, passes all these things to make things better. And this is just another thing for us to rely on this, our own resources or something that's going to be cheaper for us to use while we're doing this, transfer or shift over. And I'm like, someone got to bug up their ass and are now going to get involved and cause all these problems for, something that's already been, you know, hammered out, and but, you know, and then all the bleeding hearts are just going to freak out, which is sort of what I see on social media. That's been my take. Like, at the end of the day, I don't want, you know, to see people getting maced and squirted and arms blown off and faces mashed up by bullet, like rubber bullets and stuff. And I just, right now I'm in like education mode. So what I read yesterday, it just seems like a lot of finger pointing, and the Army Corps of Engineers is involved, and people are freaking out that there possibly could be water issues. And people of mine have lived on that area and buried their dead there. And I don't know how much facts are in this, but it seems like, you know, it's tugging at a lot of heartstrings in this country. And if there's something wrong, if there's something being done, you know, done wrong to these people, then of course bring it up. But if there's been, you know, if this has been taken care of in the courts and everything is good, you know, then I think it's people are wasting their energy, and maybe they should have done something sooner. I don't know, but that's where I'm at. I think maybe our guest will yell at me when they come on.
I think it's important, like, there's a lot of different views out there. You know, I'm sure there's, like, very different views that are taking place here, like, this side and that side. But usually, like, there's something in the middle that that is the truth of truth, and it just takes a conversation. And I like our show because, like, we might have a viewpoint, but, like, we have curiosity as well.
Yeah.
So there's a curiosity about what's going on. I just want to read some of the detail of, like, what is actually, I mean, I guess it's measurable. I guess it's observable. What is actually happening out there? And then we have a guest on the line who has some insight about what's going on. I see that there is a phone number. There's somebody on the switchboard, and we'll bring her on in just a bit. But this, just so people know, the Dakota Access Pipeline, it's a 1,700 kilometer, it's 1,100 mile pipeline, and it's intended to transport 400,000 barrels of oil that's coming from North Dakota, and it goes through four states. And the Native Americans, they've been protesting this for over 2 years, but it really ramped up when the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they granted a permit allowing the pipeline to cross under the Missouri River at a place called, I don't know how to pronounce this, so forgive me, Lake Oahe. It's O-A-H-E. It's about a half a mile north of the Standing Rock Sioux Indian Reservation. So right now there's, you know, hundreds of people out there at this site that are, some call them protesters, others they call themselves water protectors. They're concerned, they have a number of concerns. One of them is that their water supply is at risk. I mean, that's like their life supply, right? The other one is they're digging up sacred grounds, you know, even burial grounds. And the other one was that they were not communicated with. They weren't, talked to about this. And, of course, the other side is, yes, we did. We talked to them. And so what's happening right now, and I just read about it, is the Corps issued a notice to Dave Archambault II, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Chairman, that on December 5th, that is Monday, officials will close the public access to the land where the encampment, the protesters are set up, and threaten prosecution under federal, state, or local laws of those who remain. So it's ramping up. It's very intense. December 5th is Monday. It's coming up. And it looks like a showdown at the Not Okay Corral. So do you think that encapsulates it, Rick? Is there any...
That's great, and I didn't know about that last piece, so thank you for sharing. And
all that.
So Monday's, so I'm definitely have to keep an eye on what goes on for Monday.
Yeah, so it's very fascinating. I'm glad that we have a guest on. We're going to bring her on right now. This is Naomi. We're going to bring her on. So let's welcome her to the show. Let's bring her on. Let's see. There it goes. All right, Naomi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Thanks so much for taking the time to being on with all due respect. We like to have a conversation about what's really going on. And this is really going on right now. I think you were listening in when I mentioned that December 5th, there could be a very possible showdown between government agents and protesters.
Well, I'm not...
What?
from my perspective of, I have friends and relatives there, up there in Standing Rock. They're not asking for a showdown. They're not asking for anything but for the Dakota Access Pipeline to be stopped. They're not going out there throwing things. They're not. There's no video footage of them actually throwing anything. There's nothing. They're not doing anything. They're in prayer. They're in ceremony. And they're asking for it to be stopped. So if there is a showdown, it would be coming from law enforcement.
Right.
As far as my understanding of what's going on, and having read the Army Corps of Engineer documents and the eviction letters, there's multiple eviction letters and things like that. What I understand to be happening is that they, the Army Corps of Engineer has given the tribes multiple, you know, the different tribes up there, different evacuation letters stating that they needed to be out by December 5th. They have also stated that they are not going to enforce, like physically remove people from the encampment. I'm hearing strange numbers coming out from there. I know at very minimum there's 9,500 people in the encampments. And it looks like the Ocheti Shikoan, I'm really bad at names, pronouncing names, their camp seems to be about 7,000 strong and growing daily. Some veterans have already came up in support. They have been talking to elders and to different people in the encampment and on the land, and they are being advised as to how to behave while there. It is peaceful. They are, if anything were to occur, they are literally to stand as a shield. They're not to engage in anything physical in retaliation.
Right. Now, can you, for our audience and for us, can you again just give us some clarity about your connection to the site? I don't think you've been there, but you do have, you said you have relatives there.
I'm unable to go at this time. I would love to have gone, but I'm unable to go. I do have some people who I consider my relatives, people I've known for close to 30 plus years, and they are there. And I have, you know, we are fundraising and in solidarity and in support of the Water Protectors and their strength. I want to honor their strength right now.
Yeah.
Because it
takes
a lot.
You've been in contact with a lot of people. You've been in contact with a lot of people that are actually on the site. I know there's a gentleman, Hartman, and he couldn't be on the show because he's traveling there now.
He can't be on the
now.
Show because he's actually, he's in the air. He was going to take this call, so this was kind of thrown at me, and I was like, I do live stream. I watch all the live streams. I'm watching all the live feeds that are coming off of Facebook as they're happening, November 20th. We were actually here in North Carolina. There was a kind of a fundraiser prayer ceremony in Carrboro asking for people to donate and just to be in prayer and solidarity with the Water Protectors as we're in ceremony, saying prayers, you know, collecting donations, creating a banner, doing all these wonderful things out of love. I start getting the live feed on my phone. And I got all these alerts that there's these live feeds going on. Well, it's what was happening on the ground November 20th with the water cannons. They say there's no water cannons, but when you have water shooting off some huge military vehicle, I'm not familiar with the military or guns, so I don't know what all these things are, but they're huge. Like, this looks like a tank. It's like an armored truck, and they've got hoses shooting at people unarmed in 26-degree weather. That kind of hits home that what's going on up there is a war zone, and the only people enacting war is law enforcement, and specifically Morton County Sheriff's Department and the sheriffs and other law enforcement that they have acquired to help them with this. The veterans that have been up there, I've seen live feed from them and things that have been mentioned. As far as what I can tell, there are numerous pictures of people who've been shot in the back. Even according to the Geneva Conventions, like, of war, you're not allowed to shoot people in the back. Well, they're shooting people in the back. law
You're talking
enforcement
about shooting
area.
People with guns and bullets? Or
well, with
rubber bullets.
But when we're talking about rubber bullets, we're talking about at a close range. They're not adhering to standards. I mean, people, if you look at some of the video footage, I'm not sure I know that this one woman, Vanessa, Susie, I don't remember her last name. I know it starts with a D. She has been injured. Her retina has been detached, is detached, and she was trying to seek medical attention, and she's currently in a hospital in Minneapolis, and they're actually helping her. She's been shown a lot of racism and prejudice due to her stand with the water protectors, and so she's had a hard time with this, with getting help. And there was a blockage of the road being blocked itself created problems. So when they started spraying people and shooting at them with tear gas and concussion grenades and using the LRAD and doing all these things, they couldn't even get emergency services to come to them. On SoundCloud, I don't remember the woman's name, but if you start looking, you'll find it. There's a woman who actually recorded her call with 911, with a 911 operator out in Morton County, and she's begging for them to send somebody. And they're like, oh, well, if there's police there, we already know. And then she's like, well, who else can we call? And he's like, well, you can call the governor. Well, this was Sunday night. Nobody's answering at the governor's office. And
can you send
an ambulance? And they said, well, I'm sure the ambulance is, like, that's already taken care of because the police are there.
Go ahead.
So,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
Now, just again, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show. This is a topic we took on. I'll speak personally. I'm educating myself more. But what I'm going to ask is are the people on the land, are they occupying the land, or is it like the police are coming to them, or are they going to where the work is, and are they allowed to be on there?
Well, so the thing is there's a couple issues surrounding the land. The land is originally part of the 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty. The Sioux never ceded the land. So this is unceded land by the Sioux tribes. That being said, that treaty is still in effect. The land that they are occupying is both on the reservation and what's considered not on the reservation, but is their hunting grounds. So the land that everything is being done on right now is their treaty land that has continuously been taken over and over and over for different reasons. And they're saying enough is enough, stop. One of the places that's occupied right now is Turtle Hill, I believe it's called. And it's a beautiful hill that looks over the lake. I believe it's Oahe Lake. And that's a sacred burial site. LaDonna Brave Bull Allard has her son is buried there. And she's begging for them to stop work, and they're not stopping. They have razor wired multiple areas so nobody can get to that burial site. And there's people buried there. I mean, we wouldn't go through a cemetery without the proper due process. Another thing is the permits that they have. They do not have the easement to start drilling. Another thing that they have are Permit 12. I don't know if you've heard of Permit 12, but the permits that they have are called Permit 12, and it's for a small piece of land. And I keep hearing, I haven't had time to actually look up the actual number, or maybe one of your listeners could, and you know, you guys could share that information. I think it's either 1 acre or 1 mile, but it's this little tiny piece of land so this permit allows you to put pipelines and different things through that one tiny piece of land. Well, it can't be connected to another it can't be connected to another permit. So what they have is they took out multiple permit 12 and put them together, which they're not allowed to do. For a huge project, they have to do the environmental impact study. That's never been done. That was done on the Keystone XL. It was done on all these other projects. There has been no environmental impact study done at Scania for this pipeline.
Let me ask you this: what about there's 9,600 people there? How are they?
A minimum. I've heard up to 15,000.
Well, let me ask. Well, yeah. So my question is, what comes to mind is like, how are they? You know, what about like facilities, water, food? You know, basic toilets, showers. Like, what is the situation?
They have outhouses. I believe all the requests I'm seeing are for biodegradable soaps and detergents, so that they're not poisoning the land. They do have outhouses. They're working on different facilities and building something a little bit more permanent that can flush itself or, you know, kind of be taken care of a little bit differently.
Yeah. Who's funding this then? Who's doing all the funding?
The people on the ground are building and bringing in supplies and donations.
Okay.
Grassroots.
So if you go online, you'll see people requesting money. You'll see people asking for help. There's people still fighting off hypothermia from November 20th. There's some question as to what was sprayed November 20th, because I know there was tear gas. I know there were some other, there was the concussion grenades and there was the water. There's some question as to whether or not there's surfactants that were put in the water, because the people being as sick as they are right now and still having, like, everyone I see on live feed has just horrible coughing, just shortness of breath, and that wouldn't come from tear gas or from mace or pepper spray. I mean, they said there's another woman, you know, who's fighting right now for her life to save her limb. She had her arm hit by a concussion grenade at very close range when Morton County Sheriff sent that over there. And she was damaged down to the bone, because I've seen the images.
Yeah.
And you can see her bones in her forearm.
I've looked at some of the video, and I've seen, and what happened is I saw some of the cannon footage, and also the spray of the mace and stuff like that. The thing that's I'm just curious is that when I see that, I actually see people like with tarps in front of them, and they're like coming on from like the water onto the land. Like, is like, again, just playing devil's advocate. I don't think it's illegal or improper just to, like, if you're allowed to be somewhere, like, why are they doing all this? Like, what is, and I also saw like equipment being damaged and like graffiti and different things like that. Have you seen or heard of any of that?
From what I've seen and from what I've heard on the ground, the people who have organized this movement, people who are there, the tribes who have come in, and the people who are true allies who've come in support of what is going on in Standing Rock, and the stand that they are taking is that there is no violence. You can walk up to somebody, but you would never touch them. You don't scream at them. You don't agitate them. There's video of women who are actually on their knees with their back turned towards the law enforcement praying, and they're getting maced. And they're not using, I mean, people are like, oh, mace, I don't see pepper spray. I'm like, yeah, those fire extinguisher cans, that's what they're spraying them with, and that's not what, it's not fire extinguisher stuff. It's like mace, pepper spray. The thing about what you may, I'm not sure which videos you've seen. You can always go to Digital Smoke Signals or Myron Dewey's page on Facebook. He has live footage of it. And you can see firsthand, they are, the water protectors are standing in front of the law enforcement, but the law enforcement have already constructed a minimum of a 5-6 foot razor wire fence. So they're not trying to shake the fence. They're not trying to cross the fence. They're not doing anything. They're in prayer, they're in ceremony, and they're getting sprayed. So what authorizes law enforcement to spray people? There is none. That's why I read a news article, and it was I don't know what Eugene is, but Eugene was suing some company or lawyers or attorneys. I don't know who they are. There are actual multiple lawsuits against the police in the area. And I know that one of the sheriffs, the Bismarck sheriff, I can't remember his name, was removed. So he was fired due to some of this. And of the 147 people arrested prior to November 20th, when they were trying to go to Turtle Hill and they were standing in the water and getting sprayed, you may have seen those images. Out of the 147, over 100 people have been had charges dismissed with no prejudice. So what does that tell you? That tells you that people are being arrested and harassed and mistreated and abused and assaulted by law enforcement, because when they go to court, there's not enough evidence to show why they should be arresting people.
Right. So, Naomi, I want to make sure we get in a couple points, because our show is it's 30 minutes, so we have about 4 minutes left, and
okay.
We do need to end on time. But I want to make sure a couple of things. You mentioned a couple of places for people to get more information. Can you repeat that, very clearly so people know where to go? And even if contacting you or another organization you think is important.
I have multiple places. If you are on the web, just on the internet in general, you can go to sacredstonecamp.org.
Okay.
You can also go to the International Indigenous Youth Council. If you Google them, you'll see a lot of information on them. In fact, I was emailing with Erin Wise and trying to get her to come and speak, but she's also supporting the shutdown of the banks in Minnesota right now. So I don't think she was able to really, she spread thin, let's just say like that.
Okay.
If you wanted to help with the defense fund, there's Fundraiser, and it's a Sacred Stone Defense Fund under Fundraiser. And then on Facebook, you can go to Myron Dewey. You can go to Digital Smoke Signals. You can look up the International Indigenous Youth Council, the Ocheti Shekowin Standing Rock page, and the Red Warrior Camp are just a few of the places that you can go and start to look. As you start digging and looking at new live feed and you start adding those things and following them, more and more will pop up. And you'll you'll start getting what's really going on because you're seeing the live feed.
Yeah, it's definitely out there. So we have in under 2 minutes, we just really want to know, what is next and what is the best case scenario? So can you just laser that answer?
What is next that I see? The more and more people are coming, they're waking up. Banks are getting shut down. They just got a letter from Wells Fargo, from the head of Wells Fargo today. The Sioux Council, Tribal Council, got a letter saying that they want to meet with them because so many of their branches have been shut down due to direct action. Around this, people standing in solidarity, going out, what's taking place at Standing Rock is peaceful. There is no direct action in that sense. All they're in prayer. That's what I see as what was the other question? So that's what's happening now. What's coming next is just more and more allies, I think, will join.
Yeah, so people
best
join.
Scenario,
best case scenario,
somebody wakes up and realizes the amount of damage that this pipeline has caused and will continue to cause, especially if it's allowed to be put in and it leaks. Because that's a minimum of 18 million people today whose water would be affected. Because Missouri feeds into the Mississippi, and that covers the entire country. So, somebody needs to wake up and realize that this isn't where energy sources need to be coming from. Germany is, green. Why aren't we? We're ripping up our greenery to put in pipelines. This company also had the explosion in Kansas City, Missouri, just the other day. Was it yesterday, day before yesterday? Their pipeline blew. They're the one who leaked in Pennsylvania. So we have to wake up and realize we've got to stop the dumping of poisons into the land and our environment.
Yep. Thank you. You know what? Again, this is such a topic that's so big, so much to cover. Unfortunately, we don't have a 30-minute show, but Naomi, thank you for being on our show. Thank you for your passion.
Naomi, thank you so much.
Helping to educate us. Thank you for being on our show. Well, there you go, Mr. Rick. Another quick, intense blast into what's going on.
Yep. As usual, so fast. So fast.
Yeah, I want to thank Naomi. We're going to complete now, and Maybe in the future we're looking to maybe have an hour show so we can really dig in and get even more. But there is information out there for you folks. Thank you for joining us on With All Due Respect. Check us out on Facebook and have a great, great weekend. See you, Ricky.
Thank you, folks. Yeah, take care, Jimmy. Bye-bye.
Bye.